The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. Yes,
it does, doesn't it, Wynn?
It does.
Huh, Lori? It settles in your soul.
It settles in
it
your soul.
It does, huh, Patrick? It does settle in your soul. Good morning, everybody. Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E, broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading. This is Terry Raposa and my partner, Wynn Carpenter. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm good. And backwards, Hatman.
Good morning, everybody.
How you doing?
Doing good, doing good.
Doing good. We're here with Patrick Jones, good. Supervisor District.
District 4.
And his better half.
Good morning.
And his much better half.
The boss. Well, with the boss.
With the boss.
With the boss.
Morning.
Yep. We're broadcasting live from 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM. Your talk radio. And streaming live at KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever.
And ever.
And ever.
Amen.
So, a lot of interesting things coming on ahead of us, and you know, people are still wound up about what we're going to do on the elections, and I wanted to touch on that briefly and get both of your input on that. And don't point at him. I know you better than that. You know, there's a lot of things going on. I mean, you know, first of all, I got informed this morning that it's like 4 weeks and the ballots come out.
What?
Yeah, October 8th.
I'm not ready for that.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, like a lot of people go, well, you need to go through this step and that step and this step. It's 4 weeks, guys.
Yeah, our ballots will be starting the printing process very soon. In fact, I talked to our ROV, Thomas and Toller, and in fact, he's going to go down to Arizona to Runbeck, who prints our ballots. So, unfortunately, they're not printed in California or Shasta County. I'd like to see that change in the future.
Amen.
But he'll go down to take a look, and in his own words, he says, I would like to see how the sausage is made. And so he's going to take a look at our ballots being printed in Arizona by Runbeck.
Now, that's a good positive thing to do.
Yeah, I'd like to get some of the fat out of that sausage and make it a little more lean.
There you go.
Yeah, might have bones in it, baby.
Yeah.
Bones in it. But, yeah, the thing is that there's a lot of question. I mean, do you vote at your precinct? Do you mail in your ballot? Do you hand carry your ballot down to the ROV office? There's all these different ways. There's bank the votes. And really the conservative side seems to be really mixed on all the different ways they want to do things. And I think there's a lot of confusion that adds to that. My wife this morning was saying, and rightly so, that if you live on the East Coast in November, you could be, if it's snowing on the day of, you might have a hard time getting there. Okay, so maybe an urban area is different than a rural area. So what's your thoughts on that as far as the voting process? When should it, what do you think is the best strategy?
Yeah, and so I obviously have my very strong opinions as to what people should do, and you should vote on election day at your precinct. I believe that is the best, less handling it. I think if you put it in the mail, it's subject to more hands on or being lost or being, you know, torn or, you know, bent or something that causes some problems. I know the national, you know, the Republican Party as a whole, you've probably heard the bank your vote, which means vote early. I would definitely disagree with that. I don't, you know, and unfortunately that's being pushed at a national level. President Trump has said, you know, bank your vote, which means vote early. And I'm going to get into why I believe that's not a good idea as well. But, So there is some confusion. Now, the Shasta County Republican Central Committee has also, there's been members there that said bank your vote, and others within that organization that said, no, that's not a good idea. And then also with the Shasta County Republican Assembly, I'm pretty sure they've all said do not bank your vote. Mm-hmm. I think there's a strong consensus there that you should vote on Election Day. And, you know, a lot of us are used to that, but unfortunately the statistics show that the majority of people now are not voting on Election Day. And we're going to put out some press releases from the county encouraging people to really take the time. Don't be lazy and just drop it in the mail. Take the time to vote on Election Day. Everyone has, even the law allows you, your employer must give you time off to vote on Election Day, and to encourage people to do that. Now, my reasoning why I believe you should not drop your ballot in the mail is that what we've seen here in Shasta County, and I really feel very strongly about this, but when you take a look about, at least in this last primary election, we saw about one-third, roughly, of the ballots come in before Election Day. And so those are, you know, ran through the Agilis machine. They're ran through the Canon electronic scanners. And so the day of the election, that night, what you're seeing, what the first numbers posted, is the first one-third. And so that's the early vote. So on election night, you're seeing the first one-third. Now, historically, the first one-third is going to be very similar to the next two-thirds, within 1% to 2%. They're not that different. The laws of large numbers, you're just not going to see it vary. So historically, the first one-third is within 1% to 2%. Back when I was running in 2002 and 2004, if you were 1% ahead after the first drop on Election Day, you're in pretty good shape. And those trends continued, typically continued.
Until.
Right. And then if you were 1% or 2% down, it's not looking good. You're not going to probably come back. Maybe from 1% down, but 2% typically not. And then what we started noticing, at least started in 2020 when we started analyzing the data in 2020, 2022, and 2024, that first batch is putting the conservatives down, never the liberals, putting the conservatives down 20, 25, yeah. 30, even up to 34% yeah. down. And that would be okay if those trends continued, but in the next four drops, the opposite occurred, which means the first one-third was wildly different than the next two-thirds. And it was as if they could see and look at the first one-third and then manipulate it to offset what was going to happen. They already knew the election, and so it appears to me very strongly that these elections are being manipulated in that first early voting period. Now, that's a strong statement, but when you take a look at the numbers, it shows a very vastly different first one-third than the next two-thirds, and they're different, and they shouldn't be. And I think this time around, by having a new ROV, taller, having new transparency, having real ability to have meaningful observation, I'm hoping that we don't see that scenario any longer. Every time we've had a change at a key department head in the county, that's when you have a change of leadership, they have an opportunity. I see this as a real opportunity to do something different than what we've done before. And when I've asked our last ROV, Alan, you know, how are we going to restore trust? And there's some simple, easy ways to be able to do that. She indicated that it was not her job to do that. And, in fact, she got to be very confrontational and kept people further and further away from looking at our ballots.
Yeah, she put bars up. And anyway, yeah. She made it like a jail.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have Jimmy on the line. What say you, sir?
Hey, guys. Just a quick comment. When Patrick said that our ballots are printed in Arizona, that made me think of the Maricopa or the governor's race with Carrie Lake and Hobbs. Well, the ballots were supposed to be in 20-inch font, but they printed them in 19.5-inch font. So those ballots did not go through the machine. So it just made me think, like, why are we getting our ballots from Arizona, as Patrick said? I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Agreement, yeah.
Yeah, and when I found that out, I did not know, to be honest, I did not know. I'd never asked that question as to where I assumed our ballots were printed here. And they were not. I only learned that in January of 2023 when I became chair, and was very concerned because I'd already known that Runbeck was under investigation, and I have kept in close contact with Jovan Hutton Pulitzer, who did the work in that county and had found all kinds of problems and fraud, and our ballots are being printed in that county.
So why, though? Why are they printed in Arizona versus, hell, even Sacramento? At least they're in California. Why are they not printed here close to local, if not local?
Well, I think you probably could answer that because it was up to the last ROV to do that. Now, Thomas agrees that he is going to change that, but there wasn't really enough time
for this election.
The new ROV has only been in office less than 2 months, and so it's to make a major change like that.
Right.
There are opportunities to have those done in California.
Okay.
Well, even in house.
Well, and I we have to get certified, but I'm hoping that either in a company in Shasta County, and I'll be working with a couple companies to see if they could get certified before the next election, so that we could at least print these in Shasta County from a local company,
right,
instead of giving our money to Runbeck,
right,
and not having the kind of control that I would like. There's a loss of transparency when these are printed far away. You're not seeing what happens, and you already have an organization that has been under investigation. And I have good knowledge that I do not like that company, and I would rather see them done here so that we can literally go over and pick them up and bring them in. And again, minimizing the handling of these ballots, have multiple eyes on every step of the way to really show the public that
chain of custody,
right? Chain of custody, and that, you know, that to restore trust, every aspect of our elections must be transparent.
Yes.
And when they're hidden from us, we don't know. And so you can't have trust until you fix each of these issues, and they're fixable.
Right.
And I do believe with the new ROV, we're going to see a difference. And, you know, I'm still very disappointed, obviously, when the state passed AB 969. I believe that was overstepping their boundaries. We should have the ability to hand count instead of using these machines, and we do have that ability. The Secretary of State obviously does not want any county to hand count for obvious reasons, because we would probably see a change. You would see something different. And it's unfortunate as we come up to this massive presidential election in November that pretty much every county in the United States is using one of three proprietary machines and software.
Great. Here we go again.
And so all these counties are using ES&S, Hart, and Dominion, and we didn't get that fixed. There's still not enough support out there from the two big parties to end electronic machines and go to hand count.
Yeah, you know, I talked to a friend in Idaho who's an assembly person there. They call their assembly the State House of Representatives, and he's pushing to get rid of the machines, and both their assembly, their House of Representatives, State House of Representatives, their governor, and their Senate, because they're all controlled by the Republicans, it's a vast majority, they don't want to change anything.
Well, I think we're smart enough in America to be able to, if whole countries can do it without machines and do it in
100%.
A day,
right.
I think we are smart enough in the U.S. of A to make that happen.
But here's the problem. When you look at the Constitution of the United States, the states have been delegated the tools. In other words, they have the jurisdiction over the tools that we use. Okay, that's why some place like even Florida or some place like Idaho, where you have a complete Republican majority and quote, conservative majority, they still won't do it because they like the way things are. And I think that's a lot of it, is they just like the way things are.
Well, last week I had two reporters come out from the Netherlands to do a story, and they talked to me, and they talked to our previous ROV, Alan. You know, and I asked him, I said, why, again, did you come halfway around the world? And keep in mind, Netherlands, they do not use electronic machines on their ballots. They count them by hand. You know, and I asked him, why did you come halfway around the world, you know, to interview me here in small Shasta County? It's the same question when I had a reporter come over from England, and they're not, They're not able to answer that question, or at least they're not answering that question. But clearly, things that we're attempting to do in Shasta County is making international news.
Oh, trust me. Yeah.
And,
yep.
Oh, yeah.
And it's,
and
it's,
national.
It's just kind of startling that, you know, that they would spend the time and the money to have a story and to find out, you know, what is our thinking. And, you know, it's pretty obvious. We want fair elections and we're not, we don't have them and we haven't had them. And, you know, in 2020, in my primary, that March primary, as we analyzed the data, that race looked normal. I don't believe there was any cheating in that primary. I won that 42%. The next closest person to me was 21% of the incumbents. So I beat the incumbent 2-1.
And there was five people in the race.
There's five people in the race, and so it was obvious that that most likely no one would get over 50%. I got close, but had to go on to the fall. And that fall race that night, the night that Trump won,
mm-hmm.
Those first numbers that were posted put my opponent within 0.4% close to me. And I knew immediately at that time, I said, something is not right. There's no way this guy can be that close to me with the race that I ran. I outwalked him, outtalked him, outraised him in money and funds. And he just he was a poor candidate, nice guy, but a poor candidate. And he shouldn't have been that close to me. And I didn't certify the results of that on a 4-1.
And your third and fourth person in that race both endorsed you.
Yeah, and so I mean, it didn't smell right. I didn't have any data or any knowledge. I just knew that something wasn't right. I still won, and people said, "Well, you won. You should be happy." And it's like, no, because I believe I was cheated. I don't believe those numbers are correct. And yeah, I won, and that kind of started me working with local groups. To start really, because we've never looked at data before, right? We've never really took a close look at the elections department. We've all assumed that it's been ran great. In fact, I even early on said, I don't think we have any problems in Shasta County. late in 2020, I started thinking, no, I think we do have problems in Shasta County. And now the question was, where was it coming from? What are the concerns? Is our ROV going to work with us so that they can either prove me wrong, which would be fine. I would like to be proved wrong on this. I really would. Or let's fix the problems. And I believe now with the new ROV, we have that opportunity. And I see these same opportunities. You know, we have a new county CEO, Dave Rickert, and mm-hmm. really happy with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a square guy. He does things right. He does the will of the board, the way you're supposed to do things. He doesn't hide things from the board. He keeps the board well informed. And very different when we had CEO Pontus.
Oh, boy.
The first time I met with him, we had a talk, and I said, you know, one of the things how I'm going to judge you is how well you keep me informed. Because that's important, right? You keep
Absolutely.
Me informed. It's good for the county. It's very good for my district. That was the only meeting we ever had.
Yeah, you know.
And that's when you were the chair.
I wasn't chair at
prior,
that time.
Prior to being chair.
Prior, yeah.
Okay.
We do have a caller on the line. Dick, what say you, sir?
Good morning, Dick.
Hey, good morning. You know, it's sort of amazing that we're a modern country, you know, up-to-date country, but in the state of California and a lot of most other states, every method of cheating is in place. We have mail-in voting. We have drop boxes that are not attended. Early voting, electronic counting machines, and the most important one, we're the only country, I think, that has elections that you don't require voter ID. And the Democrats oppose that because they with voter ID, a lot of ballots can't even be counted. And I actually think Trump is not going to win this election because the Democrats have 3.5 years to improve their cheating, and they're getting really good at it. And I have some advice for anybody who listening who has a Republican friend or relative who has a terminal illness. You need to take them down and have them re-register as a Democrat before they die. For two reasons. One, if somebody has to go, we want it to be a Democrat. And number two, if you die as a Democrat, you can still vote in every election.
Well, Dick, I other than that last part, I believe you're spot on. And, you know, we've taken things for granted, but there is a lot of people now finally waking up. And I believe you're right. I think, you know, Trump's in trouble, not because he wouldn't win by a landslide like he did last time, but because we still have these three proprietary machines. They can still cheat. And nothing's changed from 2020. We weren't able to fix it over that time period. The judges that I've seen were so afraid to decertify the results of elections. They couldn't. They did everything kick and scream to try to not look at these cases when there was overwhelming evidence of fraud. And there were some elections overturned because of it, and some here in California. But if you Google them, you won't see them because they've been taken down.
Of course they have.
And so the problems aren't fixed. And it is absolutely insanity to purchase or lease electronic voting machines with proprietary software that you can't look at. And there are laws in place that we cannot touch them. That's insanity, that you're purchasing something and that you're totally restricted from looking at.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Thank you, Dick.
Thanks, Dick.
Okay, bye.
Dick's a wonderful guy, and I know he was going to be talking. In fact,
Before we go off to our break, got a couple things here. Let's see. We'll start off this one's the date first. Okay, so Friday the 13th and Saturday the 14th is Paisano Days here in Redding, and the Shasta Lodge, number 2453, Sons and Daughters of Italy in America. They proudly present the Paisano Days, and it's free admission down at the South City Park here in Redding. There are going to be Italian food, of course. They're going to have bocce ball tournaments. They're going to have basket raffles. They're going to have arts and crafts for sale. They're going to have drinks, beer and wine. They're going to have cannolis, all the good stuff there. Going to have a great car show. All kinds of cars come out of the woodwork and go out there and park on the lawn, and people can come through and ooh and ah at them. There are kids' games. So for more information and dinner tickets, call John at 530-365-5978 or check out their website at ReddingSonsOfItaly.com. Again, ReddingSonsOfItaly.com. And tickets for Friday's Spaghetti Feed dinner can be purchased at Lulu's Eating and Drinking Establishment at 2230 Pine Street. So that's the first one. Or you can get tickets from Dick, who was just on the phone. You can call him at 246-9131. Again, 246-9131. And this is to support the Veterans Home Dinner. They have a spaghetti feed as well. So the Northern California Veterans Group, different event here, presents a dinner for the Redding Veterans Home. This is spaghetti dinner, and it's going to be they're serving spaghetti and meatballs, salad, bread, and dessert, Saturday, September 28th. So 2 weeks later, and this will be at the Anderson VFW Hall at 3210 West Center Street in Anderson from 4 to 7 p.m. Adult tickets are 15, veteran tickets are 13, kids tickets 12 and under are 10. And for those tickets, you can call 530-356-3651.
And those funds for that go to also just helping our veterans out at the home. There's different things that they need that mm-hmm. they don't have the money for.
Right.
And so it's a good... a good place to put your money for our veterans, which I appreciate and love all you guys out there. Thank you for your service.
And there's another, and then we've got another tidbit here. They're calling all veterans who use the Redding Outpatient Clinic from 12 to 1 on Tuesday, on the second Tuesday of each month at the Redding Outpatient Clinic. They hold a Voice of the Veteran meeting for veterans and their advocates. It is a great opportunity to voice concerns, stay current with VA policy, and work with the staff at the clinic to improve the veteran experience. Meetings are usually in one of the election education rooms. Just ask at the front desk. And if you need to contact anybody, here's a phone number. You can contact Erin. She works for Congresswoman LaMalta. Contact Erin at 515-7135.
Laura, you can if you can do this in 2 minutes, we have a break, or you can hold on till after the break. Which would you want to do?
Hold on though, after the break. Thank you.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, with that, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Raise up right. If you look. I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Mimi Mosley here from Mosley Family Sellers. We'd just like to thank Redding Rancheria for their generous gift to us. It was so helpful and helped to keep us alive.
Hi, I'm Shelby Mahara with Squishy Doodle Face Painting, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Redding Rancheria for all of their support. They always help the community and always help to take care of us when they can.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Well, I'm one for two. She smiled. Hey, everybody. We're back. We are back.
We are back.
We are back, and we're excited to be back with Lori Jones.
Hello.
And Patrick Jones.
Howdy.
And Wynn Carpenter. And Backward Hat Man. And on the phone, we have Laura Hobbs. Laura, what say you?
Good morning, everybody. I wanted to thank, first of all, Patrick for his attention to this issue. I think it's one of the most important issues facing our board today, and he's done a lot in this area. But I just feel that the board in general could do more, and in particular, the Elections Commission has come up with some really good recommendations, especially for getting rid of the electronic poll pads. These are used to fine-tune the algorithms used to cheat. So they get near real-time data on who has voted and who has not voted, and then they can utilize those ballots of people who have not voted electronically to make them vote, for instance, or harvest certain ballots, or, you know, there's many different ways to do it. But we have something on the table right now that can be utilized, and it's not being utilized. So I'm just wondering what the board has planned before this next election to do everything we can to minimize the cheating in election.
Thank you, Lauren, and I appreciate Dr. Hobbs' work, and for all the people listening out there, Dr. Hobbs still needs your support. She's got a case that's being appealed on her District 2 run, and you know, and I was very disappointed at the Superior Court level, but I do believe she may be victorious at the appellate court level as long as we have a fair judge, which seems to be a short supply around here. I mean, there is a lot of ways to cheat, Laura. You know probably better than any person around all the different ways of cheating, and they cheat differently in different states. They cheat differently in different counties. When we fix one area, then simply they're going to go to a different area. And the more you look, the more you're going to see. I'm too disappointed that we haven't been able to do more. I truly believe by this time we would be hand counting ballots, and I know there is the 1% tally, and they can count more, as Joanna did on this last primary, and that's a start. But you know, we are now We recognize the issues. We have a fairly conservative board now, which I've been very proud of over the last 2 years. And it would have been nice to see more done in elections because we know more now than what we did, two or three years ago. We just simply know.
I would say the question is, because we were talking a little bit on the break about those electronic poll pads, I have people that were poll workers, multiple issues. I had people that came in that voted, and there was three poll pads in one precinct, and none of them worked. And so it just puts things at a dead standstill. And I agree with what Laura was saying. It's just another means of cheating that we could eliminate and just go to the paper poll pads, and we have the money to do that. I'm just not sure if the board... if you have the time to implement, or I guess it wouldn't have to be the board. It could be the ROV.
Yeah.
And I know there's money there to do that, and that it takes those poll pads offline, and you're able just to eliminate one little avenue there that we
I wonder
could
how much time it would really take.
I don't know.
You know, I mean, but how come we aren't discussing it? How come we're not? Why haven't we heard from the ROV office about this?
Well, I mean, probably need to. Maybe that's something I'll go do and talk to him directly.
Uh-oh.
I know he's at this point of a lot of pressure for a new ROV coming in there.
That's
and I give
news,
him kudos.
Right? That's bad news right there.
I know it is.
I'll give him credit for that. It's not an easy spot. And anybody
you know what you're signing up for when you sign up for something. I mean,
yeah.
I don't buy it.
No,
you know,
I'm not making excuses.
Right.
I'm saying... If I try to put myself in that same position, it's not easy, but like you said, you signed up for it. So that would be a good question. I don't know if I just talk to the ROV, if I talk to the CEO, or who it may be, but, we have the money and the funds to be able to put those into place. So I guess we need the time frame. I can talk to him on Tuesday.
If I may interject.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wonder why, because Toller has the authority to do that, but... The board itself, they can end the contract with no ink. That's the contractor who does these electronic poll pads. And if the board were to take the authority that they have and use it, it would relieve some of the pressure off of our new ROV to make those decisions that might be unpopular with his staff.
My question, Laura, have you actually read that contract? Is that something that can be backed out of with no penalties?
Yes.
Is there a time frame?
No penalties.
And the time frame, is there a certain notice you have to give?
I think 30 days. 30-day notice, yeah.
Yeah, no, and it's very similar to, because Laura has written a bit about this, and I have talked to Thomas on this multiple occasions and the CEO, and so there, I think the biggest issue right now is because you have a new ROV that's been in the seat less than 2 months, you got the Secretary of State pushing down, he doesn't want to end up like, Tina Peters. He wants to do things correctly the best that he can. He's got limited time. All I really know, is that, from where we're at today to what we had in the past, we're in a better situation. We're going to have more transparency. Are we going to fix all the problems that we are aware of? No, but it's going to be better. And I think we're going to have a fair election this time around. And I want to talk about a little bit of corruption. I know we're running shorter on time now.
Well, we've got about 20 minutes, and I want you to head down that path because I think that's something everyone needs to know in this county. Go ahead, sir.
So, and we're talking about the ROV, and so I want to talk a little bit about the last ROV and the corruption that occurred that she took part in. And this is Kathy Allen, what she did on a contract with the Centers for Tech and Civic Life. And Mark Zuckerberg has been in the news recently. He was under oath in Washington and testifying, and he was smart enough to know that he probably shouldn't completely lie when you're testifying under oath. And he admitted that the Centers for Tech and Civic Life, as he has donated over $400 million to that organization, and then that organization divvied
out. How much?
For over $400 million. But again, for Zuckerberg, that's nothing. That's a drop in the bucket. But what this money did do is it went out to various election departments, including Shasta County, and we'll get into that. And we got 1.5 million. Other places got 2 million. Some ROVs, and county clerks got $2.5 million. And he testified that he regrets, I know he doesn't regret, but he said he regretted giving this money because in fact, it was used in a partisan manner. It was used to influence policies to get people to vote, certain demographics to vote. 29 states have banned this money from coming into their election departments because they had already known that, right? And Zuckerberg is far left-leaning, and so he admitted that did occur, and he says he regrets that it occurred, and he's not going to fund in this next cycle.
Probably regrets getting caught.
He didn't, exactly. Right. He doesn't regret this. This was the plan the entire time. The Centers for Tech and Civic Life, CTCL. And guess who sat on that committee that they have? Our second in command here, Joanna Francescott.
No.
Sat on that committee. In fact, if you go to their webpage, you'll see her pictures. She does not sit on it currently, but she did for quite some time. So, when I was chair in February of 2023, what do you know? Shasta County gets a call from the Centers for Tech and Civic Life and says, you're so great out there that we're going to give you $1.5 million. Myself and Supervisor Kellstrom said, no, it's been banned in 29 states. We don't want to take that money for the obvious reasons stated earlier. Supervisor Garmin and Supervisor Rickert wanted to just take the money with the strings attached, which is what the Centers for Tech and Civic Life want you to do. Supervisor Cry at the time, he wanted the money but not the strings attached, so he made a counter offer that we would take the $1.5 million. Once it hit our account, it could not be taken back, and it would be used for the purchase of a new elections department for a building. That was approved on a 3-2 vote. And I assumed that it went forward to the Centers for Tech and Civic Life. And in fact, our acting CEO, Mary Williams, the following month, I had asked, hey, did the counter proposal get approved? Nope, not yet. Nope, not, hadn't or nothing. And so later in the year, probably 6 months later, I asked, or not 6 months later, but shortly later, a month or two, I asked again, did that counter proposal get approved? And the answer was no. And so then I find out, through uncovering 174 emails, that a proposal did get approved the very following month in March, but wasn't our contract. It wasn't the counterproposal. Kathy Allen and Joanna Francescott, with the help of acting CEO Mary Williams, rewrote the contract, sent it on to the Centers for Tech and Civic Life. They approved it, and then they just sat on it and hid it from us.
Question. Okay, do they have the jurisdiction to do that? First question. And
no.
Second question is, isn't that like breaking the law?
Yeah, you have a breach of contract here. You have malfeasance.
Holy crap.
You have insubordination all the way up to the top. So I was unaware, and I had just assumed, since I hadn't heard anything back and they said nothing's come back, that they didn't accept Supervisor Cry's counterproposal. That's kind of what I assumed. They didn't accept it. Now, at some point, staff was going to run into a brick wall here. At some point, you're going to have to tell the board sooner or later, right? And so you can't just hide everything forever. Maybe they thought they could. Or maybe they thought that the recall, the unsuccessful recall of Supervisor Cry, if that was successful, the governor would appoint, you know, a rhino in that position very quickly, and then they could accept this contract that was never approved by the board. I don't know what their thinking was, but then it finally came up. You know, in 2024, they said, hey, you know, we got to do something with this CTCL grant. It's time sensitive. And I said, what? They never approved it. And it just was silent. We heard nothing. Now, no one has countered my claims. Staff is working on a timeline on this now, and we'll present it to the public in full transparency. But the bottom line is, in those 174 emails, it went back and forth. Kathy Allen, the ROV at that time, along with Joanna Francescott, said, hey, we're going to rewrite this contract. It doesn't have to go back to the board, right? And the county attorney said, yes, it needs to go back to the board. And again, they would come on and say, hey, we're going to write it this way. It doesn't have to go back to the board. No, it has to go back to the board 10 times through those 100.
And you have the evidence of this.
We have that. And 10 times we have the attorney saying, it has to go back to the board if you're going to rewrite a contract.
Wow.
It never came back to the board. They wasted a ton of time doing that, and it's a complete malfeasance of the ROV.
Malfeasance is a crime.
Criminal.
So let me get this straight. I mean, I appreciate the transparency. How about having them arrested?
Well, obviously,
I appreciate it because right. This is all enlightening too, and I don't, of course, have.
Terry, and this wasn't the only thing that we have uncovered. This is just one that was very high profile, and it was involving $1.5 million. And
Francesca's still there. What's she doing?
Correct. Now, Kathy Allen has resigned.
Yeah.
The attorneys involved have all resigned.
Williams has
her. And we have a new guy that's relying on Francesca,
right.
From what I understand. So, boy, help me out here.
So, and Francesca admitted that she was aware of it, of course, because her name's on the emails. Of course, she was seeing these emails, so she was aware. So, you did not inform the board. The city or the county attorneys would need to have reported to the board what was going on. They did not. They worked for the board. This acting CEO did not report this what was happening because they were involved in it. Now, you wonder why there's so many resignations in the county. Well, this is a part of those, and there are others as well.
So what you're saying is basically the rats are leaving the ship.
As they've kind of figured out that, hey, we have a very conservative board that's not just sitting back, cutting ribbons, going to dinners, and not investigating. We have our own attorneys. We talk to many attorneys within our network. We want to get to the bottom, and when things aren't looking right, when you see smoke, there's probably some fire at the end of that. And that's what we found here. Pretty shocking to find out that Kathy Allen rewrote that contract, no authority to do so. But this is probably what's been happening all over the whole country. This is the level of corruption that we see in elections. And so what else have we not known about? What else have we not known about?
With this being exposed and taking legal action against the people that are involved, absolutely has to happen. Now with that, so what if they retire? Can they lose their retirement for doing that?
Well, I don't know if any legal I am unaware of any legal action taking place. I have talked to our
It's got to be criminal.
It is. If it's malfeasance, it's criminal.
I agree, but there is it is complicated, and I believe that even the attorneys withholding this information, the attorney attempted 10 times trying to say, but he never informed us of ultimately what did happen.
And that's insubordination on his part as well.
Correct. And, our top four attorneys have all resigned. And so.
And so they were all being insubordinate along this line.
Well, and again, I know that, Counsel Ross, he was involved in that. And then, of course, he left and he was only in that position for 3 or 4 months. And then others left as well. And I know this is frustrating, Chair Cry right now because this isn't just isolated.
Right.
We have documented this very clearly, what occurred. The timeline with the emails is very clear. So there's no disputing what they did in this case.
Right.
But there are other things that will come out. And I'll be in a better position here come January when I will no longer be a sitting supervisor to be able to talk about certain things. And more things will be coming out. You're going to find out about more things. But what I can say is, and what I'm very proud of, is as we have had these resignations, we have been able to replace them with solid individuals from around the country. And we have an opportunity to do that right now with the resource manager that recently took a job in another county. There's another great opportunity there that's a very important one. But we have a very good support services director, very good health and human services director, very, very good health officer with Dr. Mu, very good CEO, and others. And now we have a very good ROV in Thomas Toller. And I'm trying to give Thomas a little breather room because I know he's under a lot of pressure, And you gotta be in that seat to feel it. And And so I know where he's at. I remember when I first ran for city council, you know, and eventually when I won, after 4 years, I didn't want to do it anymore. And I was, the stress was just, you know, it wasn't worth it. And I wanted to walk away.
I think the responsibility that he has is much, much larger than the responsibility you had in the city, only because of the fact that he's talking about our representation here. He's the one who keeps our fundamental right of voting.
Protected.
And frankly, if you don't have that.
Yeah, but I know Thomas. And
well, he's a great guy.
I know Thomas on a professional level, and so I know his integrity. Mm-hmm. I know the things that he is going to do, and I'm not going to tell you all the things that he's going to do, but I know what he's going to do, and I know what we had in the past. Mm-hmm. And I just gave you a circumstance of what we had
in the past.
In the past. Wow. And you're not going to get that, from Thomas. He's a straight shooter.
Good.
You know, and so, I'm going to err on the side of caution, and you know, keep in mind that I have worked with election integrity groups up and down the state and here in Shasta County. We all want to get this thing fixed, and we want it fixed now, and we want it fixed before the presidential election. This is the most important election of our time.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. And we all feel that the cheating is going to occur.
Okay.
And I think we're going to be able to hold it at bay in Shasta County. But I fear for our President Trump that they will do to him what they did to him already.
Yeah.
So, okay, you know, so we have the election. We go through the process here in Shasta County. We do do everything that we're supposed to do. Well, we do what's going to be done. So can he not go back and do an audit on this election? Can he not? I'm talking about our local ROV going back and double checking everything, making sure things were done right.
Correct. And I think here this is, you know, again, Thomas is an attorney. He's not a practicing attorney now because he's the ROV. But for example, when ballots are ran through the Canon electronic scanners, I believe this time around we will have two people there monitoring every batch that goes through, marking down the time, the date, the batch, many ballots.
Very good.
And then checking those with the state's audit log and making sure that they're flawless. That's going to happen this time. Every ballot, I believe, that's ran through those scanners, there's going to be two sets of eyeballs on everyone and making notes so that we can legally check that with the audit log. And if that audit log is not, if it's off on one ballot, I believe Thomas will take that to court. That log, that audit must be exact, and we're going to prove it because we're going to do the work in front and then check it. Now, that's one area that I think is going to be vastly improved because we saw problems in the past. And to be honest, the last ROV, when they ran ballots through the Canon scanners, they weren't taking any notes. So they were simply then just going by the state's audit log, which you can't verify because you didn't do the work. And they did it on purpose.
Wow.
To allow the possibility of fraud. And that's what this whole state has done, right? And so many other states, right? When you send ballots out, it's just like Dick Wilkinson said. All these things are opportunities for the cheat. And you got to be on it. We're on it in Shasta County. We've learned from mistakes in the past, and we're going to be down there in force this time, working not in a confrontational environment, which is what we had in the past.
Right.
Now we have an environment where, you know, when those ballots come out of those envelopes, those ballots, that should be a very public process. The public should be highly engaged in counting ballots and watching. And in the past, they weren't. And there's no reason why not.
Right.
There's no reason. Those are anonymous ballots. And I think we're going to have meaningful observation this time in a way it's never been done before in Shasta County. That's how confident I am in Thomas's ability. He's going to go to the level that I believe he can, and he's going to do everything legally by the election codes.
You know, Patrick, I want to thank you for that because I think what you've just done is put a lot of people's mind to rest in the confidence you have in what you just shared. And I think all that stuff should, I think that now we need to start supporting Tom. And Lori, are you still there?
Yep, good morning.
Hey, you know, what you might want to do, unless you can do it in just a couple of minutes, is call in to Sovereign Minds. This is Lori Bridgeford. Lori does have some important information that she wants to share. And would that be okay, hon? Can you do that?
I can do a one-minute flyby, and then I'll
okay, do a one-minute flyby, and then, yeah.
Here we go.
Go ahead.
this show, first off, right now is a complete keeper for an encore as much as you want to. I am just shaking listening to this, and this isn't the first time I've heard it. Thank you, Patrick and Lori. Yeah, Dr. Mu, he was hired about a year ago, October. He makes $222,000 a month. Yes, he's local. Yes, he's experienced. But I need to see more action and activity because he's not as new as Tom Toller is. And we're looking at a potential lockdown with the votes. This fits the parallel conversation we're having with the elections. We have to look at if they have the monkeypox, the bird flu, all these things. We've got RFK Jr. left the Dem Party, or the Dem Party actually left him, joining with the Warp Speed, Donald Trump. Yeah, there's going to be some activity, and so I just want to say I'd like to see far more activity. In fact, I went on the HHS site this morning, and they still have Andrew Decker. There's no Dr. Mu listed, so I'll be calling them Monday morning and finding out why they're behind almost a year in updating who's our health officer. So, yeah, we're going to look at the World Economic Forum, the Health Defender, what do I call it, Children's Health Defense, three shots for children, babies, I'm sorry, by the time they're 9 months old. This is a EAU. It's not licensed. It's an experimental. What parent would ever do that? So, yeah, Nuremberg, let's not forget that. Vax number three is coming up. I think they're showing it in Chico. It might be sold out by the 18th. And I'll leave it at that. But, yeah, there's a lot that can happen before Election Day. So thank you, Lori.
Okay,
I have something I want to ask Patrick and Lori right now.
Well, and I want to just say really very quickly in that we do pay Dr. Mu quite a bit, but we do not pay him $220,000 a month. that would be a year.
That's a lot of money. Anyway, I think she's right. And in lieu of this conversation, I know, Sally, we need to get this link out to everybody possible. And is it possible that you guys come back next week and continue this?
Yeah, we'll take a look at our calendar and
take a look and see, because I think we need to continue this, and there's other avenues that people are bringing up. And I think the wonderful thing about this is you're giving us information we don't have. We need to make informed decisions. That's something I think that's so important right now.
You know, and this was one, you know, this Centers for Tech and Civic Life contract was one instance. But I'll give you another instance just very quickly. When our new CEO, Dave Rickert, came on board, he was only in the office for a few weeks. I caught him in the hall, and he said, hey, that investigation on the DA is wrapping up. And I go, what investigation? He assumed I knew. I did not. And so I went over to Support Services, Monica Fugit, and said, Monica, unaware of this investigation. And she goes, well, yeah, because we don't tell you about any investigations.
What?
And I said,
how is that possible?
And she goes, well, we don't have a policy on that. And I said, okay, well, I'm chair. We're going to change that policy. So we do have a new policy now. And so any internal investigation, this board, this chair, or when I was chair, had no knowledge of anything going on, whether these things were done correctly or covered up. I have no idea.
Don't you have to authorize funds for that as a board, though?
Well, no, they just were ran through. We never saw them, so we never saw any of these contracts. Now, so what we have now, we put in policies in place where the board will be informed on these, and if it's any department head or an elected official, those reports, when they're done, will be made public. So we went one step further to have better transparency. And
we need more time.
You know, and so what occurred in some of these investigations, were they watered down? Were there sustained allegations and watered down? I believe the answer there would be yes. And how many of those occurred and to whom, and we can get into at least one the next time we come back.
Well, okay, yes. So when you lose a case that you don't know about and the county has to pay for it, how does that get paid?
Well, we have several cases that the board was from past legal counsel. Did not keep the board informed. Very different now because we've got very good legal counsel with Joe Larmer. We're lucky to get him. But from what we had in the past, they were withholding very important information from the board. We're the bosses. And it's pretty shocking, to the level of what they were doing. But it is being cleaned up now, and, you know, and so now we're going to be able to have a better functioning county with a lot more transparency, and the public's going to be aware of more things than what you what we have, and the board's going to be better informed.
There you go. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Winster. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen. Amen.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.